our country. We are one of the greatest countries to be a part of. And I want you to know, you better say amen to that, because you don't realize what is out there in these third world countries, what it is to live like them, what it is to be under that kind of rulership. But we thank God for all those we've met that came out and told us the storyline. So I am grateful that I live and God birthed me out in the United States of America. Trust me. Even though my grandparents did it right, came over across from Mexico, they came right, they crossed over correctly, met each other correctly, did everything correctly, raised us up correctly. Come on, somebody. I thank God for my grandparents who taught my mother, not my father, because I don't know who he is, but I thank God, except Jesus, our Savior, right? His father is my father. And for that, how many know he's my brother? How many Jesus knows that he's my brother? He's not God. He's my brother. Say somebody. Say amen. No, you're missing it. He is not God. Our Father in heaven is God. He was the Son of God, meaning elder brother of ours. So don't, you know, if you can't accept that, that's up to you. Because I don't believe in religion. I fight religion because religion is what's going to kill us. It's out to kill us right now. For some of you don't understand, you got a love word in you that's totally wrong. Because if you know the actual word of love, you understand the word of love, you're gonna operate in the word of love. Love, yes, cares for everybody. Yes, we pray for everybody, absolutely, but we don't tolerate everything. Because the wisest man I ever met, and one of the greatest moves in what's known as the Brownsville move, where the presence of God came in. Some of you don't even know who the presence, what the presence of God is. It's just not your hair feeling these tingles or goosebumps. The actual presence of God is so awesome that in one of the movements here in Brownsville, Kentucky, that I went to go sit and hear a message from him. He gave me the wisest, best counsel I can ever get. And he said it like this, and I'll say it to you, people of God. You just use your name. I'll just use Pastor Deborah. Deborah, you deserve what you tolerate. Hello. I said, what? You deserve what you tolerate. Listen to what I'm about to preach into this message. He goes, you deserve everything. Everything that's happening in our world, sometimes we don't realize it's not the will of God. We're in a season. We're in life. And today, our message of a season in transition, we're going to start with the book of Ecclesiastes, verse number 1, to understand this. And then I'm going to quickly go down. I have a lot of scriptures to fulfill this morning. And so I'm going to do my best to fulfill it in a wonderful time way. And so Ecclesiastes means the preacher or the gatherer. That's what Ecclesiastes means. So write that down. So when you ever read from the wisest man who wrote these words, it comes from the from Solomon, who wrote the book of Proverbs, to the Ecclesiastes, the preacher, or actually the gatherer, gave us the greatest wisdom that we'll ever understand. There's no greater wisdom than this right here. And that is the verse number 1, and I'm the King James Version, says it like this: to everything, say everything. What does that mean to you? I don't know if your schooling's ever taught you. It means everything to me. Oh, help me here. To everything. Hello? There is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we're bringing this out right now because we know this is your will. We've been sitting here, Father, throughout the weeks, Lord God, and we ask you, and we go before you, and this is what you dropped into our spirit. I receive it for myself, but open every ear to hear, Lord God, that we can present this appropriately as you have given it to us, Father, because we are in the greatest moment of time once again. You have given us another opportune time, Father, to come out from amongst them, Lord God, and be separate, as your word has described. But Father, we rebuke the works of the enemy. We rebuke the devil himself, Father. You rebuke Satan, but we rebuke all his minions, my God, in the name of Jesus. All his distractions, right, that he comes to distract your people with, Father, in their mindsets, Lord God, by these fiery darts he throws, that when they should be attentive by hearing what the Spirit of God is saying, their mind drifts, Father. We rebuke those right now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit of the living God, get a hold of every mind that belongs to you, every heart that belongs to you, and let them be still to hear what your word shall be said, that we can be where we're supposed to be, to receive what we're supposed to be receiving from the rest of this year, as you will it that we tarry, Father. And Holy Ghost, open, my mouth is open, you feel it. I surrender, as that song said, all to you, my God. And to you I give the glory and the praise forever. And what I want you to, and we all say amen. And from here, we're going to go to the Gospel of John, because there's a time, right, for everything under the heavens. And there's a purpose under heaven. Say amen, somebody. And I'm going to go switch it to the Gospel of John, because I'm going to break it down to a place where we understand it. The verse, we're going to break it down to chapter 19 of this gospel. And again, I'm going to be in the King James Version. But we got to realize we're in the moment of time. And some of you may not like about the time that I'm talking about being in the greatest moment, 250 years of celebration of America. Some of you don't know what that means, because some of you hadn't had relatives that died fighting for this country. These men that we celebrate that has gone in and made it out for our country. Say amen, somebody. You see, why I don't know my father, possibly because he was a soldier that never came home, never knew that I existed. So that's in me. Come on, somebody. It's in me to understand the United States of America and what it takes that we continue to be the country we are in freedom. Say amen. God established this. How many know this? In his establishment, you are established to be here in the year 2026 compared to the 1776. And so with that being said, in this time of purpose, because you're all in purpose right now, you're all in a moment, and most of us have had to endure pain at times. How many agree? Some of you might be in pain right now, and I'm not talking about the pain of a condition of our health, but I'm talking about a pain of experience of life. Because life has experiences, and I can guarantee you, you're all going to experience life, even you young people. Especially when you open your hearts to what you do, have no idea of the word called love. You have no idea, puppy love. You don't know love yet. You can't even, excuse my term, you can't even clean yourself right yet. I don't care how many wipes we have. Hello, somebody. If you don't believe us, ask your parents to have to wash the clothes. Some of you adults are laughing. Some of you are the same way. Why? Because you haven't come to the purpose and plan of what cleanliness of God is yet, let alone with life. But I can guarantee you, as young as you are, they will experience pain themselves. Some of them might be in pain now. Some of you might be in pain right now. But what God is going to promise you in this message, that pain was allowed. It's part of your journey. It's part of the plan of God. No, because God didn't choose what you chose. Come on, say amen. He didn't choose that you fall for that person that has broken your heart. He didn't choose that what you dislike about those positions that you chose. Come on, you say, well, God ordered my step. No, he didn't, because if he ordered your step, you'd be surprised what you would be like today. But he's changing directions right now. He is a God that we can probably promise of this as we get into this message. And right now, again, the preacher, I'm the preacher. And the preacher is telling the story of Ecclesiastes. It's nothing about vanity. Everything's vain. The richest man in the world, nobody will touch him. I don't care how much Elon Musk has right now. No one is going to touch what the richest man ever received. Solomon, the wisest man. No one will ever outdo him, because God's not going to allow it. Say amen, somebody. And so with that being said, the preacher, he's preaching to us. He's trying to gather us. And God's trying to do that this morning, because our lives should be on top of the hill today. Because you're in the greatest moment of time. Say time. You're in the greatest hour of time. The prophets of old want to be here. If anybody, they would love to be right here with the ability you have. We get to go pray outside for free. No pressure. Come on. Pressuring ourselves because of time. Why? Because our lives are so important that we forget time that really belongs to God. We set up ourselves. Why? Because we owe. So we have to have careers and we have to have positions and jobs because we got to pay what we owe. Come on. Not realizing that God says, don't owe nobody. How can that be? How can I live without owing no one? And he'll describe it to you. Doesn't the birds have their nest? Don't they sing every morning? Are you singing every morning? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Do you sing that when you get up? This little light of mine, I'm saying, good morning, Father. Good morning, Lord. Are you walking up and you're all grumpy? Oh, my God, it's another day. Especially on Sunday, I got to go to church. Come on. I rejoice at church. Come on. Hello, somebody. I don't care how many hours I had to spend. I spent a lot of hours on a position. 12 hours at times, 13 hours. I have to go right back early in the morning. But we did it. Come on. I can do it for him. Coming to church. I don't care what time we're getting up or we're going. Hello. But because of the hour we're in, because of what God wants to do. It breaks my heart that you're not where you should be. It breaks my heart that you can't receive because we have a plan. God had a plan. But his plans, his ways are not your ways. He's got a different walk and journey for us. And everything that you're going to go through, even though it's crooked, he's going to make it straight. And he's going to use what I just call pain because he wants to take the P away from your pain. What does that mean, Pastor? P-A-I-N. He's going to take the P because that represents your past. And all of us have a past. I don't care what you say, you all have a past. Every one of us. And that past may have nothing, but we all have a past from yesterday's history. Come on. Tomorrow's a mystery. How many know what tomorrow's going to bring you? Well, you got to go to work. Well, but do you know what it's going to bring you? Do you know what it's going to take to get from A to B? Do you know if there's going to be anyone trying to intercept A to B, meaning our enemy, to stop you from going for what you've chosen to become and be a part of? That God turns it out, that he be glorified in that? Even though he didn't choose that for you, he will be glorified in that by protecting who you are and being who you are. So no matter what pain, but most of it is from your past, you're going to get up all happy to go to that. But somewhere deep down inside, because a name or something takes course, it rises up. And you thought you were free. There's that shackle. There's that chain. You don't realize it, but it happens to everybody. Come on, say amen. And it's a lot of you sleep with that. Some of you go to bed with that, which is ridiculous. Why are you going with something that doesn't exist no more? Why do you do that to yourself when the one that cares for you, the one that's never going to leave us, ever, is right there for you. Right there for us. All you got to do is reach out. And he's going to take that pee out today from you and replace it with the letter G, because your pain of that is going to be a gain for everyone, including you. Say me. Why? Because we belong to him. And he has assigned us a purpose and plan. How many know what I just said? A purpose and plan. Come on. But we have to understand where we are in time. How many know where we're at in time? Other than the date, we know it's the 7th, right? Is it the 7th? Right? Of the year 2020, is it still the year 2026? Am I correct? I'm glad you know that. And your purpose in this day. He had a plan. You have a plan. He had a plan. The plan began when he let you wake up this morning. The plan begins that he let you put on what you have. The plan was that he let you go to your closets and play because you don't have nothing to wear, but you have everything to wear. The plan was that just because you didn't do your laundry, because now you have nothing to wear, that you have to wear clothes that... Do I need to go on with this? I don't need to go on with this, right? Because you understand this, right? Hello? Until it's all taken away. But thank God he doesn't let it all be taken away. But sometimes we do need that. That he can bring what? Humbleness. Because we need humbleness. Because why? Because promotion comes from not from the east or the west. Come on. No. Promotion comes from God. God promoted our children. Say amen, somebody. That's him. Hello? Some of these live in the hardest places of life, but they're being promoted. Some of them have great lives. They're being promoted because God is with both. No matter where you're at in life, he's with us. Come on, hello, reach this and understand this. How many understand this verse right here on verse number 30, John 19, the Gospel of John 19? Because some of us, I should be preaching this. You're going to say, this is an Easter style. No, it's not. This is an everyday message. He says, on verse 30, King James Version, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, how many understand what the vinegar was at that time? He was thirsty. How many know he knows we're thirsty? He knows how to satisfy thirst more than anybody. Hello? He understands where we're at, meaning. Why? Because he's taking it all. He's on that cross. Come on. Hello? And how many enjoy that he's not on that cross today? Come on. But what he said here, after they gave him that, because they said he's thirsty, he's saying, I thirst. But that's not the thirst that you and I have. He's asking for the thirst that he can be fulfilled, that we are fulfilled. Oh, help me here, Jesus. And then it goes on like this. He said, it is finished. And then he gave up his ghost. And Papa, well, most of us don't realize what the word means. It is finished. Meaning that when he said it, what he was really speaking, he was saying to Father God, it is complete now. Their pain is now going to be, as my pain, their gain. What I've had to endure, what I had to face, what I had to go through, now that it's on this place of position, on a cross, I've endured. I've done what you've said. I'm here. And now I'm ready. Come on, he was ready. And he says, it now is finished. And what does he mean by that? Everything that you will ever face, meaning everything of the past at that point to the future that is to come for everyone in that moment of time, it is complete. I've paid the price. And so what we don't realize that what we need to come to a place to walk with is understanding what he meant. What did he mean? Colossians tells us this on chapter 2 of the book of Colossians. And I'm going to stay in the King James Version. Chapter 2. What does it mean? What did he take on that cross? He took on all our sins, but we live in a sinful nature. He took away the pain of sin, but sin surrounds us. In the book of Genesis, it says sin crouches waiting. It looks for the right moment. And what is that right moment? That you open the door. See, because sin can't open the door unless you open it. You see, we can't give the enemy things he shouldn't have. But we do constantly. We blame him that has no right to be blamed, because we're the blame when we let him have a glory he does not deserve. The devil doesn't make you do anything. If he did, you would be possessed. If you were possessed, you wouldn't be able to sit here right now. You might have an attachment because it knows how to sit in church. It knows how to behave itself. And it knows it'll react when the time is to react. And it usually reacts by starting with a thought. Everything starts with a thought. Come on. And then from that thought after thought, and it's not wrong to have a bad thought or any type of thought. It's wrong when you fulfill the thought. Notice who I blamed? You. It's no one else. It's us that makes the decision. Say amen. So what does it mean? It is finished. Listen to what Colossians is going to say in chapter 2. What does it mean? It's complete. It's now no longer necessary that someone come. It is here, and it is here now. It is here today as it was 2,000 plus years ago. It is now for us because we know faith is when. You say now, but when faith is needful, you don't react in the faith that is here now. We react on what's the opposite, and that's us. And we need to get to the place to understand. When Jesus said, pick up your cross, he meant pick up your victory. He meant pick up what is already finished, complete. It is done. There's nothing you need to do because he paid the price for us. He understood. You want to know pain? He knew pain, but he took it that we can gain. We gain from that suffering of our Savior on that cross. Say amen. The devil thought he had him. The devil thought he could win. The devil thought he had victory until the third day. No, he knew he lost on the first day, because the first day Jesus went straight to the place called Hades, Sheol. Come on. Hell. He went down there because you have something that don't belong to you. It belongs to me. He had the prophets down there. He had the servants down there. That enemy had all them down there because he thought he had the victory until the first day. And then on the third day, it was proven. For who? Us. First day was for the devil. That's why he says you have the keys to what? Come on, you should know this. Death, you have it. Come on, people of God. How many have forgotten their keys? Huh? What happens when you forget your keys? Huh? You're in a world of worry, right? You're in a world of doubt. Did I lose them? How many have lost their keys before? You know, when we moved in here, we had to have this whole place rekeyed. Come on, Minister John, what is it? Why do we have to? Because somebody broke in? Is that, I can't remember. Jesus, I'm going to be 70. What's your excuse? He's over here thinking of the kitchen. I tell you right now, he's already picturing the kitchen. Because I know my brother here. Come on, he's a saint of God, but I know I'm a watchman watching. We had to have the whole place rekeyed at one night. Come on, it took a lot of work. Hello. But I gave you, say me, you have the keys of what? Death, hell, and the grave. But are you using them? Are you using what God gave you, the ability? Because we're going to go about the ability. You know, when you see somebody in your family going the wrong way, what do you speak? What is your thoughts about that one going the wrong way? Because we see it all the time. We see wrong all the time. We're going out these doors, we're going to see wrong out there. Come on. We're going to see it everywhere we go. I don't care where you come from, what neighborhood you come from. We're going to see wrong. We're even in the good neighborhood to the worst neighborhood. To be honest with you, we were safer sometimes in the worst neighborhood. When you got nothing, there's nothing to steal. Come on. But why do we have cameras everywhere now? Because God's eye sees everything. And he gave us eyes to see it on the apps. Come on, giving God a glory. I'm not going to give those people the glory that God uses to advance us. Because all things belong to and we're made by our God. Say amen. But watch this. Watch it. Why did he go? What did he say? It is finished. Why is he there? Why? Because the season. The season was mankind. The season will continue to be mankind. It's us that God is looking after. It is us that God is concerned with. It is us, no matter who we are, no matter where we came from, no matter how good or how bad or how in between, it doesn't matter. God is for all of us. And he will not, and though he doesn't like everything, we still can have a call on him. Come on. Why? Because it's a time for a season right now. And he's asking us for a transition in our hearts and our minds. Amen. And so he hung on the cross. The preacher's preaching. He's gathering. That's our God. It is complete now. It is over. No one has to stand and do this again. So what does it mean? What does it mean? So look at what it says right here on the Gospel of John, Colossians. My mind's on verse number 13, chapter 2. Now watch what it says, and I'm going to leave it like that because you like to read it in you, and you think he's talking to me, but he's talking to you. And the word says, "And you being dead in your sins." How many understand you were dead in your sins? How many understand some of you are dead in your sins now because you haven't repented? This is a salvation message. Absolutely. Because if you're not repentive, you're dead in your sin. Hello? And God would not have it because he's already completed what he desires in us, in our hearts, that we would not be being dead in our sins and uncircumcision of our flesh, yet he has quickened together with him. Look at this. Having right? Having forgiven you all your trespasses. See, he doesn't want us to remain as we were. And he don't care where if you were raised in the church, especially you raised in the church, you're the one that gives a lot of headaches to the church. Because, you know, just because your parents paid the price, you think you have the right just to freely go through all life, tipsy-toe. No, you don't. You're just blessed, especially the third generation. They're blessed. I see my grandsons, they are blessed. Come on, my grandsons are blessed, and that's the way it should be. Amen. We didn't have nobody standing in for us, but we stood and we fight, and we're fighting today more than ever. And don't you think we didn't have crooked roads with our kids? We've had, everyone gave us a crooked road. Come on, and we had to fight. We had to fight with the pain. We had to endure with the pain. We stood our grounds. Come on, why? Because I know who I am. And this is not the will of God, because it's a promise that my household will be saved. My bloodline, say amen, somebody. I'm fighting for everyone that belongs in my bloodline, because it is the will of God that he has called us. And this is a time of purpose that we had to go through, because that pain now today is your gain. We can minister to you to hold on. Come on, get to the hands of the horn of the altars and hold on to God's word. Hold on to his promise. Fight the good fight. I want you to know, for me to live is Christ, but for me to die is gain. Come on, gain. There comes that word gain by taking the pain, God. And yes, we were dead in sin at one time, but today we are forgiven. Now I have a reason for. Come on, you have a right to live today. You have a reason. Why? Because you are cleansed by the blood. You are protected by the blood of Jesus. And he's desiring you to get to your place and get to that. But you need to come down to these altars and get on your knees, because we are not worthy of this cleansing. We're not worthy of this righteousness. We are not worthy. But he loves us. He loves me. Do you understand? He loves everybody. He loves, yeah, those good, snotty people. He loves them too. But he loves the killer. He loves the drug addict, the drug dealer, the prostitute, the one that's hiring the prostitute. He loves, he even loves the homosexuals and lesbians. He loves, now this one you don't like, and I don't like it, but I'm not God. He loves the ones that hurt our children, molest our children. Come on, are you listening to this? He loves them. I have a hard time with that. Come on. I just don't. Watch out for the mama bears. Don't mess with the children. Come on, say amen. And there are those in there. There are those out there. They're everywhere. Come on, they're across the street. They live everywhere around you, but God loves them. So I have to tell God, and I'm going to be honest with you, God, help me to love them. Help me, God. I have a nature where I came from. It's called short eyes. Don't you have short eyes? Because where I came from, short eyes don't live. Some of you don't even know what I mean. It's a prison term. I don't have to be in prison to understand that term. I just know that that term has existed in past, not as much in present today. Why? Because they have their own gangs now of short eyes calling shots in the prison. You're crazy, right? Short eyes mean you're looking at my little one. How dare you be looking at my little one? Come on, you're... Hello, somebody. You'll be tested if you're not careful. We're just trying to tell you, keep your eyes on the Lord. Come on, say amen. Why? Because you say, I'm forgiven. And now let's go to the Gospel of Luke real quick. Like, come on, let's go to the Gospel of Luke. I'm trying to get this through. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Holy Ghost. The 24th chapter. That means the last chapter of the book of Luke. Almost to the end, too. Because understanding the, what does he mean is complete? What is the preacher trying to tell us? This is who I was, but no longer am I. Hello, somebody. Why? Because he said it's complete. Now it's, he says that I'm forgiven. That's why I live. But at the same time, he's not leaving us alone.
Aren't you glad you have a God that doesn't leave you alone?
Aren't you glad that you have a God, even you say, don't follow me, he follows you? Aren't you glad that you have a God that say, not right now, God, but he's right there waiting? Aren't you glad that you have a God, no matter what you say, he's still right there? No matter if you reject him, you can cuss him out. He's right there. You cuss me out, watch out if I don't cuss you back. Come on, say amen. Don't tempt my faith, even though I pray we have died out to our flesh as much as possible as we can. But don't do that to me. Say amen. Because I just might squirt you with a water gun. But you know my meaning, right? Huh? You know what that means, right? No, you know what? Cuss me out. I've been cussed out. It doesn't matter. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names and words never hurt me. That's a lie. They hurt. You know, you want to challenge my faith? You want to challenge who I am? You want to challenge where I stand? Go ahead, but don't tempt the Lord. Why? Because he's got my back. Oh, Jesus. And we got to get to the place to understand this right now. Hello? Because right now, that you don't understand, and what we've been talking about, your pain, talking about your purpose and plan, the hardest place we are in our time of purpose, is the waiting game. Because God sometimes does it like this. And then he says, like this. That means, okay, let's do it now. On the other end, he goes, no, never. And then there's most times, he says, wait. Just wait. And you don't understand the waiting game with God because you think you can do this and you think you got this and you think you're this kind of person, but you're not even close to what you're going to need to become that kind of person. We're all sons and daughters of the Most High. What does that mean to you? Come on. If we're sons and daughters of the Most High, why do we act the way we act? Why do we do what we do? Why do we think the way we think? Why do we speak the way we speak? Hello, somebody. If we're the children of the Most High and we say we recognize that, then if we do, why are we the way we are? That's because we don't understand. He said, wait. Hello? Chapter 24 of the book of Luke, verse number 49. The promises of God. How many know that his promises are yes and amen? Come on. How many understood how long the Israelites had to wait for a Messiah to come? How many years did they wait? You should all know this that have been here in this church because we give you numbers. 4,000 years. 4,000 years they waited. Here we are 2,000 years later not understanding why they know more than us. Come on, say amen. 4,000 years they waited. So what does that mean to you and I? That 4,000 years of people never saw the promise of God while they were on this earth. But those that held on, those that obeyed, those that repented and continued to serve the living God on the ways they were called to serve, you know, the Torah, the five books, that's all they lived by, the prophets, how they were to speak. And how many know they feared the prophets back then? I don't fear the prophets today. There's so many out there, I have to weigh out, okay? I got a big shelf at home. Big, well, you can't see it though. You walk in the house, nobody can see it. I know it's there. Of all the prophetic words that were given to me since I got saved in 1980, people have came and prophesied over me, threw oil all over me, made me do things or run around the church because thus saith the Lord. And some of them, you take them and we're waiting. Well, I want you to know, 45 years, I'm still waiting. Why? It's in my shelf. The promise may take 4,000 years, meaning I may never see the promise, brother, but it's coming. What's that promise? Jesus is coming. He's coming. And I'm waiting for that promise. Say amen. And so we have to get to the place of understanding the wait. See, God says wait. Some of us are so impatient. He's dealing with your patience. How many know we all need to be dealt with our pain? Because we're all the Burger King happy people. We want it in 30 seconds, but we can't handle it. Because in 30 seconds, I'm going to blast Burger King one more time. They never get it right. When I say no mayo, don't put extra mayo. And they do it, I don't go back no more to them. Because it's enough. Come on. Never mind. Ketchup and mustard was the way the traditional hamburgers were made. So get back to tradition. Say it to somebody. And I want you to know, you know who makes them like that? A&W. They are as mustard and ketchup. You go, brothers. Come on. See, we've been tested in life. I can't stand mayonnaise. It's bad for you. So is ketchup, though. But look what he says on verse number 49 of the Gospel of Luke 24. Because this is a promise. And behold, I send a promise. How many know he's sending promises today? How many know you're under promise right now? You're all under promise of yes and amen, all of us. Come on. We're promised to make heaven our home, but we haven't made it. Come on. We're promised that he's never going to leave us nor forsake us, but we don't understand that. We are promised that he's always going to intervene, but we don't see it. What do you mean? You've gone this far because it's him that's to intervene to help push us in our pain because he died and completed it on that cross. That's why we tell you, pick up your cross. And it's not a piece of silver over your neck. It's not something you want to ink on your body. That doesn't count. What he means is, pick up what I gave to you. I have completed the promise that you can make heaven your home now. That you, meaning us, come on, can endure all things. Meaning that all of us shall have all our needs met. Come on, we're going to have all our needs met. And if you are, be careful, because when desperation rises, we'll do whatever we believe it needs to be done. And it's not true. You have not come. Because right here he says, behold, I'm going to send you a promise of my Father. Of my Father. Not himself. Jesus is not going to send the Father in heaven upon you. But I tarry you in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. What is he saying? What is he saying? Behold, I send the promise of my Father. Come on. But you need to wait. And we all hate the waiting game. Come on. How many know that you should be wise enough never to go to a restaurant after church? Because everybody has the same idea. Hello? And you're wondering why you're waiting. So we're smart now. You call ahead, right? No. Try that too. Just know that if you're going to go find the restaurant that's empty, I'd question why they're empty. Hello? Let me tell you a story. I can tell you story over story, right? But I need to end this. We went to a restaurant, huh? Nice little restaurant. I'm going to tell you, it's on East Street in San Bernardino. And the prices are so good. That's why we'd go there. Because how many have to climb the ladder, are still climbing the ladder, and your budgets are very tight? Come on. Tight budgets, we'd never rob God. Tight budget, we'll never rob God. We'll rob the rent that was due. But it never got undone. It always got paid. And we'd go there because you get a lot of food, like at Norm's. How many know who Norm's are? Right? They give you a lot of food for your price. And well, there's this restaurant that's still there, I think. I'm not going to say its name because I'm putting it on blast and I don't want to get sued. Come on, for telling the truth. But we're sitting there eating one time and what's that? This cockroach is climbing the wall. What? Well, they're hungry too. We can say that today, but we're not going back. Come on. Because if they're right there where we sit, we can imagine where the kitchen's at, what they're like. Because how many have ever dealt with cockroaches in your home? And there's one thing we don't like, is cockroaches. We'd rather deal with ants or pinchers than the cockroach. Come on, say amen. How many agree? But we don't like the waiting game. That was just a golden nugget for you. But Terry, you wait. People of God, God is telling us right now, you're in a season, but wait. This season will pass. Hello, we're about to change from spring and summer. We're getting a hint of summer, aren't we? Come on, thank God for air conditioning. Hello. Thank God that we can make you cold right now. Amen. Amen. Some of you are cold. But tell these people who are so hot and having hot flashes. Hello. I asked you. You guys had a moment to say no, turn it down. Do you want me to turn it down? I will for you. You want me to turn it down? I'll turn it off. You want me to turn it off? Oh, you want it up? I love you. You want me to turn it? Okay.
Oh, it's 70 in here. I like that.
Okay, I send it to 72 for all of you.
Okay, just for that. But he says, wait, come on. How many know we need to be waiting?
You're in your purpose right now. I don't know what I'm telling you, 99% of you, in your purpose, you're in the waiting process. Because that process is processing you, not those. And how many know people are going to be used in your waiting moment of time? Your pain usually comes because of someone causing it. The enemy stepping in, but God's going to turn what's meant for evil, like for Joseph, right? His own flesh and blood, and sold them out. Why? Because they were jealous. Why? Because dad, say dad. I don't understand that one, but I do, but I don't. I mean, you know what that means. But I do understand that dad today, Father God, has it all for us together. Come on. That you never beg for bread. Hello. That you learn to make wiser decisions. That you learn to go get counsel before you make decisions. Hello. Especially when it comes to marriage. Because that's honorable. That's the highest honor in God's eyes. Are you here, church? And you don't know how many how are you going to afford this person? You don't even have a job, but you want to get married? And why do you want to marry him? And this is actually how I spoke to somebody. You don't have a job. Why are you married? Where are you going to live? Parents? Hello, nothing wrong with living parents to help get ahead. Where are you going to live? Why do you want to marry this person that's supposed to be responsible to take and take care of you? And of course, what do you all say? Ladies, because I'm talking to the female, guess what she told me? But I love him. I go, what do you, mean you lust for him? You don't love him, because if you love him, he'll be waiting. Go get a job, honey. Come on. Go get a place where we can live. Get a car where we can have transportation. Hello, somebody. Well, you know, the waiting period. I'm using that as an analogy. It's a truth. They're still together today, that couple I married. I married them. They're still together, but man, they've been divorced. I don't know how many times since married. They've been divorced. I don't know how many times. We get the sad calls. They don't even attend my church. I get called. And I got to hear it. And all I got to say, I asked you the question. I'm asking you right now. Do you understand your waiting process that you're going through is preparing you to what God wants to give to you? Most of us can't handle what God has already blessed us with. Oftentimes when he does bless us and we start rising, we make idols out of that. We put it secondary to the one that's given us that ability. We start worshiping it because it becomes first in our lives rather than God staying first in our life, because without him, it would never be. This morning, so do you understand the waiting process in your time right now? Because you're in a purpose time right now. But right now, in that purpose time, he's asking you to wait, because what's coming, he's preparing you. He wants to bless you to be a blessing. I mean, you know what that means? There it is. These people that are donating are making, there are sacrifice donations that are coming in. They got rents, they got expenses, and they have it, but they're doing it, and they're doing it in the will of God, for the love of God. They're doing it. They're standing up, making vows, and saying, I'm going to do that. And we know, and we want to say, God, which I do say, God, you know, bless that heart. And so now in the waiting process, right, you're going to be tried by the enemy because he didn't like that you're having faith in God. Are you here? We know what sacrifices are. We have done sacrifices. And now understanding on Ephesians chapter 1, I'm in the closing right now. I'm already coming downhill. I'm going to keep climbing, but I can't. I got to stop. I hear him saying, and understanding that in our waiting moment, that you never lose sight of what God is going to say us right here in verse number 7 of chapter 1 of Ephesians. It says, in whom we have redemption through. How many of you know you have a redeemer? How many of you know you have a song that I've been redeemed? How? How have I been redeemed? By the blood of the Lamb. You're not here on, you're not being redeemed by your own actions and your own ways. And just a sacrifice, you have not known a true sacrifice like our Savior has. He sacrificed His life, His blood, that we can come to this place saying, we have been redeemed through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of grace. Grace sustains us right now. Why? Because that blood of that dripped on that cross, that said it's complete, will always be available as I live. And I'm going to guarantee you, you're going to make mistakes. Because the harder you try not to make a mistake, the more you're going to make. I guarantee it. The harder you try not to think wrong, you're going to think more so of wrongness. Are you listening here this morning, church? Because God is trying to put us to that. And I want you to know what you have in your hands. Say, what do I have in my hands? The ability to do what God says. Watch this. Go to Jeremiah. Man, it's hot now. Just kidding. I'm kidding. Some of you are saying, it is, Pastor. I'm dripping with sweat now. And I only dropped it. I only rose the temperature 2 degrees. So it's going to take a while to get there. Jeremiah chapter 23, because I want you to see what God has given you. He's given us what you got to see, the word of God that was and is now, that you can walk out here, because either I'm going to close with this or one more scripture. But I want you to see this. Verse number 29. Is not my word, not your word, God's word, is not my word like as a fire? Question mark. Do you understand the word of God, how this, what it means? Is not my word like fire? How many know what fire does? Come on. It burns, right? It burns. What in our lives, what is it going to burn out? And why do we have to wait? Why does God say wait? Why? Because He's got to remove, say remove. And this is why pain will come. Well, because a burning has to run its course of our life. Well, what does that mean? And you may have to wait years only because God has to deal with you. Children of Israel, it shouldn't have took 40 years. A 3-week journey took 40 years and they still didn't make it. After all that He revealed, after all that He proved, He by the Red Sea, that won me, right? Come on. The Red Sea, that should have won them all. No complaining, no murmuring. That should have won each and every one of us. But what did they do? The first chance they got. And the first thing we do, we forget God. We forgot what He just did for us. How many times has God really failed you? And I can answer to you, if you think He failed you, you're wrong. You failed Him. You failed to obey what He said. You failed. Say, I failed. You stole fizzy lifting drinks. That's from a saying from somebody. Come on. But how many? Is not my word like a fire? This is why you guys don't like this. This is preaching to you. Why? Because I'm not going to let you blame my God for the mistakes you make. Because you don't want to hear. You don't want to wait. We cannot blame our God. What God is doing, He's making your road straight because you made it crooked. We do that. Say amen. We work it wrongly. We try to do everything that we believe, not what He says, we believe is right. But not realizing there is a way that seemeth right unto man. Proverbs. And what does he say? That brings you to death. Not the death that should be clinging onto us. The death of the cross. Come on, because that brings resurrection. It's not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rocks in pieces. And I want to concentrate on the hammer, because if anybody knows a hammer, I know a hammer. Brother Minister John knows a hammer, and I love the hammer. Come on, it's a great tool, say amen. But then all hammers are the same. You got certain hammers for this and certain hammers for this. I'm an ex-framer. Come on, how many know what that means? I can frame, and I can get the hammer, but I like a 22-ounce hammer. Not a finishing hammer, because a finishing has no grooves. Why? Because you don't want to strike the nail and slip from you when you're building with a 2x4s, 2x6s, 4x4s, 4x6s, whatever you got in that plan has to be used. But that hammer, 22 ounces per, because they got one that's 20 ounces. It's a little heavy. better for the bigger guy. But for me, the 22 ounce, not 20, 22 ounce was perfect. And I used to do it like a, right into my hammer holder. I could walk like that. I'm good. Come on. Because he made me that way. And the hammer is good for two things. Say amen. I mean, you know what a hammer can do? It can break down what needs to be broken down. And that's all we can ever see, this Minister John. All we can ever see is that it can break down. But do you realize the same hammer that is going to break it is actually going to help you build it? For you that don't understand the Word of God, this word that he's bringing to you because you're in a planned moment, you're in a purpose hour, and he's telling you to wait. Please wait, because some of you are holding on barely by a thread, and he never told you to hang on by a thread. He said, hold on to the horns of my altar. Hold on to what I have given you. Hold on to these words, because these words is like fire. Say amen. And these words are like a hammer. Yes, it's tearing you apart. Yes, it's breaking you down. Absolutely. But that same hammer now is going to come at the moment of transition of time. He's going to start building you back up. And that pain now is going to be removed. And now you're going to walk in a gain side. Because somebody God's going to bring to you. And you're going to be right there at the right time, at the right moment. And God's going to use you. Not to say go to church, but to be the witness. Because you've passed the test. Now is a testimony. Say amen. Because without a test, there's never testimonies. I recently used someone... testimony here for someone we know that is going through the exact same thing that person went through. And I shared that testimony. And I like to share testimony because I know that's God. Hello? But do you understand this? That is not my word? Come on. Don't you understand my word? You believe a doctor before you believe God. But God will let a doctor speak to you that you can get to believe God. You'll believe whatever they say out there before you'll believe God. But he'll let those positions come that, hey, I told you my word's like a fire. I need to break down because this can't sustain. He said, get a new wine bag, wineskin. Why? Because it can't handle what I'm about to give you with that old wine skin. It'll burst because what I'm going to give you, you need to be prepared to handle. Hello. And with the steps to get to this place, we went through process over process over process over process. And here we are. And it's a process. Hello. I'm going to close you with Ephesians. I got more, but I'm going to close with Ephesians. You guys are just too quiet. But I'm still going to believe God for you. As soon as you get home, I get home and I settle down after what the rest of the day is. The first thing I'm going to think on is, God, did I please you, number one? Did I speak it the way you asked me to speak it? And then number two, I'm going to pray for all of you that showed up. Because there's some that are not here because they say they're dealing with whatever. And I hope that they didn't lie. Why? Because his word. His word, which is your power, which is your ability because of the Spirit of God put in you, brings life or death. Because it's in your power. Say, my power. See, you be walking like Bruce Almighty. I got the power. Move those cars aside. Come on, I got the power. Hello, somebody. Oh, Jesus, Ephesians chapter 4. I know I use some of these things, but, you know, I've been doing this a long time. And some of the things I can use, you won't relate to, but I know you relate to these new things. Hello? Are you here? I know you're here because I can see you. And some of you give me some funny looks. I'd rather have funny looks than those mad dog looks. Like, they don't scare me. Nothing. None of that scares me no more. I had to face the worst of ones, the worst of the worst. But here's the clue. It's been paid for. Is complete. Nothing else needs to be done. All you have to understand is everything that we said together, that listen to what the preacher's saying, which is the word Ecclesiastes in the Hebrew word Koholet. And you need to start sharing some of the stories that God has brought you and delivered you from. You need to start sharing some of your testimonies and bringing. And when you talk about your church, say, come and see. Just come and see.
Come on, come and listen to these testimonies. Are we allowed to get up here? Hello, somebody. We don't do it. We don't do it that they be recognized. We want you to hear what God can do, what God is doing, what God's willing to do, because He's willing to lift you up. He's willing to encourage you. He's willing, and more than so, is going to show you that He is with you. No matter, even though you made the road crooked, He's going to make it straight. But Ephesians chapter 4 tells us like this. And God's not going to force you. Are you listening? Prophetically speaking, I can prophetically speak to all of you. Because I've been praying for you. We come in here and pray for you. How many know what that means? The women are coming in, but we're coming. We're alone. Because I don't want you to hear how I talk about you. Because God knows your weaknesses. Hello? He knows your past. But I bring out His future. Because that's what counts. Come on, say amen. And to understand this, this is on you. See, it's on me now. I'm going to put it back in your hands. I can only tell you what I have learned. I'm careful what I say because I know what I say now comes to pass. Because I'm at a place with God that I know that if I speak it in faith, which is when? Now. I can bring death to somebody or life. Are you here? I'm not saying physical death. That's between God and those, not me. I don't call that out on anybody. What I mean is deal with them, God. Deal with what they're saying. Deal with what they said. Deal with what they're doing. Come on. To make it right for what's good. Like I told you, I've done this for a long time. But I'm not going to stop preaching this word the way I preach. Because I know what will work and what won't work. You're not all right. You need help. Come on. There are those who are not all feeling that, but somewhere sooner you are going to need exactly what we're talking about. Because somewhere this is all going to come alive starting today. If it's not, it's already in the process. God's letting you know, I'm with you. I understand. Hello? Come on, it's summer. Yes. It's beach time, not on Sundays. Not on Sunday mornings. I'm sorry, but you won't get no parking. It's because you don't have favor of God. If you put Him first, you'll be surprised what He'll do for you. Especially in the holidays, right? You want that front row parking? Well, let God's favor be on you. He'll always give you right front row parking. But understand the front row parking, they might scratch your car. They might bump into you. They may even try to break in. Hello? Watch how to use favor. Use it correctly today. Because we are favored by God. We're His children. He loves us. But I can only tell you this right now. In your season, He's telling you to wait. It's your choice. Say, my choice. Closing you with this verse. Verse 24, chapter 4 of Ephesians. No, excuse me. Never mind. 23. I like the one 23 says it. Better yet, let's go to 22. I love it. See, I love God's word. You don't understand. It says that you, say I, that, and I'm going to say that we, because I'm included. Are you listening here? Put off concerning the former conversations of the old man, which is corrupt. This is your problem. This is my problem when the old man wants to rise up. And we want to talk in the ways of the old man because we want everybody to be afraid of us, of our old man. Nobody's afraid of your old man. Hello? There's always somebody worse off. There's always someone better than you. But he's saying that you put off conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful desires, lust. Desires. Come on, y'all have desires. You have what? You got to be careful for your desires. Say amen. 23. And be renewed. Here it is. This is the text. Be renewed. Again, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Proverbs says, as a man thinketh, so are you. If you don't know about who you are as a child of God, if you don't understand that God caused you and you're in a wait process and what you're paying or what you have dealt with in the past and why you're still dealing with it, it's because it's time to let it go. Stop concentrating on it. You're not there no more. Hello. You're here. Why? Because He gave you another victorious morning. Yeah, you might have given up some, but here, because your mind hasn't learned to let it go. Because you're a new creature in Christ, and all things should become new of God. All things, and that's His word. Because why? It's a fire. It's a hammer. It's time to break it down and be rebuilt. And be renewed, verse 23, one more time, in the spirit of your mind, 24, in closing, and that you put on. He can't put it on. You have to adore. You have to dress yourself with this. You have to accept that this is who He is to you, and that you put on the new man, woman, which is after God. Come on. Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You know the greatest lie you keep listening to? That you're not worthy. The only thing you can think of is what you did, where you came from. But you can't see He has you sitting in His house today. He's the one that woke you up. He's the one that said, get there now and get in, because I have something for you. Why? Because we belong to Him, and it's your purpose with Him that you're in, and it's you that is going to be understanding. Keep waiting. It's not over yet. It's not done. Just keep waiting. All you're waiting, keep moving. Keep moving. Come on, say amen. Keep walking. Even if you got to drive, keep driving. Hello, somebody. Keep doing, because you're in a transitional moment, and this is the best time right now. We got God's people rising all over our country right now. They're standing up because we're believing for holy boldness for all of you. Come on, say amen. If they're not ashamed to cuss in front of you, you should not be ashamed to say glory to God. Come on. You should not be afraid to say, hey, if you're going to be talking to me like that, no, I don't like that. Come on. And don't you be talking like that around me ever. I'm not afraid. I'm not alone. I got my God with me. And I don't need to hear that filth. But if you like that filth, then you haven't put on the renewing of the right mind or the right set or the right way or the right spirit or the right person, because we have the mind of God. We're the purpose and mighty purpose of righteousness of God. Not my righteousness. It's His righteousness. And because His word is what I call out today. And for you that know me, when I was in management, they didn't come into my, only one came into my office, but he obeyed my rules. Come on. Hello, somebody. You cuss, you pay. Come on. You don't have to keep me. You don't like me? Sorry. You cuss, you pay. That's how it was in my office. The owner came in and respected me. He put fives or tens. And then he's going to cuss out, because he's a man's man, and you got to use your French language, but you're not French. And I'll be there smiling. Thank you for the donation. It's for the homeless. Come on. You have to respect. Anybody under him? Uh-uh. You're fired. I'm a Donald Trump. You're fired. Come on, say amen. Why? Because this is who God is. We are His righteousness. Stand to your feet.